G'day, Richard. Not Hi. Feeling great today?
Oh, look, I'm feeling all right, but my voice is terrible, even worse than usual. Rather than my nasally, whiny voice on the podcast, it's got this gravelly Tom Waits voice.
So. You just sound like you're 80, that's all.
I feel like I'm 80.
Richard, we're talking about, as growth group leaders, how to have that one-on-one pastoral conversation with someone in your group.
Yeah, it's just a really valuable part of the ministry.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, hopefully, you're having just regular, fairly low-stress catch-ups with your group members.
Yeah.
But now and again, there's something that just gets you, you'll be a little bit anxious about.
Yeah.
You'll be praying beforehand as you go in, your pulse might go up a bit, and
yeah.
You just want to give you some stuff to help you through those conversations, make
yeah.
them go as well as you can.
So the first week,
we looked at all the wrong approaches.
Yeah.
There were seven. And thankfully, you couldn't do all seven wrong at the same time.
That's right.
Some of them were mutually contradictory.
Yeah. So it seemed like getting overstressed and getting understressed about
feeling, it. Feeling, yeah, overly responsible, wanting to fix things.
Yeah.
Inappropriate sharing, isolation.
Yeah.
Acting as a health professional. There were some of them.
Yeah. So there were, we looked at all the wrong things to do. What do we do?
Okay, what do we do? Let's, very quickly to go over the environment, you propose the meeting. Let me just do that quickly. So you might text to organise a meeting or a quick phone call, a chat at growth group. Usually it'd be a phrase like, I'm trying to catch up with people in our growth group regularly. Could we meet at this time? Or from what you said at growth group, I realize there's some stuff going on for you at the moment. Could we meet up and try and just limit that as little as possible? Don't start the conversation.
That's right.
Just organize the time.
Yeah. So, and one of the things we said last week was even flagging your growth group leader hat.
Yeah.
Hey, as your growth group leader, it'd be really good for us to catch up. Helps frame that conversation
for them
and for you.
That's right. And organize a space where there'll be privacy. It could be at a cafe, it could be at a church venue, it could be at their house. You and I have spoken before, we don't normally meet at our house.
Yeah.
Just because it's often good to be able to bring a meeting to a close and leave.
That's right.
So, it's just, I'm sure your home is fine a lot of the time. Just from Dave and my experience, plus we've got families and kids running around.
That's right. So sometimes it helps having the family in the other room, normalize and make things. But having that, the ability to say, we're done, it's difficult when you're the one ushering them out the door.
Yeah.
And so if there could be one of those conversations where you need to say, no, we're done.
Yeah.
And it's much easier for you to leave.
Yeah.
But if you're not having that sort of conversation, then...
Yeah. So that's just a soft bit of advice.
Yeah.
So let's say it's all happening.
Yeah.
The first thing, we've broken this down into steps. Is it five steps? Let me run through to have this conversation. Listen, open the Bible, make a plan, follow up, and share, escalate. That's the five steps.
Cool.
The first few are the important ones.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about listening.
Yeah, so listening. So imagine we're in the meeting and why is listening important? It seems like an obvious question, but just explain it.
Yeah, listening is so important because if you want to be of any use to someone, you need to understand what's going on for them. And you understand what's going on for them by listening.
Yeah.
You don't understand by telling them what's going on.
No.
It's something very fundamental. And natural listeners there in the podcast audience will be thinking, well, of course, you learn about someone by just listening.
Yeah.
There'll be some people where this will be a radical idea.
That's right. Particularly if... Lots of these conversations we're going to have with people might be raising an issue where we're concerned about them and their decisions. And for some people, the temptation can be to go straight in and go, right, I've seen this, and or I think this.
That's right. Or I've heard this from someone.
Oh, gosh. Don't do that. Yes. Even in situations where I have been the witness.
Yes.
Of the sin. I've seen it happen. I st- still go in first to do all the listening. I want them to do all the talking. And part of the principle behind that is I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in Christians. And when I see someone do something that I think is bad,
yeah,
I still want to leave room for there to be a reasoning behind it that was actually good that's going to affect the way I pass
that
right.
person. That's right.
I've got to refuse this idea that that decision was 100% bad and everything of it was wrong and there's no need to discuss it. I just need to continue on through it.
Yes.
Our process. I really want to understand, this person's got the Spirit. Why would they do that?
That's right.
It's so counter-spiritual that they would act like that. So surely there must be some other stuff.
Yes, that's right. So I would sometimes phrase it like, so Dave, now, last Sunday I couldn't help but notice that you were setting fire to the school building.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to tell me what was going on for you at that time?
Exactly. And the reason this is really good because, I don't know about you, but in my experience, well over half, almost two-thirds, I'd say, of people, when you've done that, their leading response is, and they admit their sin straight off the bat. But if I go in saying, hey, I think you sinned here straight off the bat, their leading response is almost always defensive.
Yeah.
So again, we believe the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. It's probably dwelling on their mind. So rather than accusing, just say, hey, explain to me what happened there.
Yeah.
Well, what was going on?
Yeah. Or if it's not about a particular event, it's just, can you tell me what's going on?
Yeah.
Tell me about how's your mental health going?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that looks like?
Yeah.
Lots of open-ended questions where you're not really saying, you're just sort of going, I see.
I'm not assuming one way or the other.
No judgment. I'm not saying you're good, you're bad, or my opinion or anything like that. Just tell me more. That's listening. And that could take minimum 10 minutes, sometimes half an hour. Probably the value may be starting to decrease after the half an hour time.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're listening and asking questions that draw out the answer.
Yeah.
What other good questions draw out things?
Well, so you can have a think while so some good things I think are really helpful. If you are talking about an issue of sin, I think it's so valuable to move from the vague, I feel tempted, and I've had some issues, to, okay, when?
Yes.
When was the last time?
Being specific. People will put out little teasers, code for...
I've fallen.
There's more going on. We're struggling.
Yeah.
I've fallen. Marriage has been tough.
Yeah.
I'm feeling disconnected.
Yeah.
Just little teasers.
Yeah. And so you want to go, just tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
So when you say it's been tough, what exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Again, you're just asking, you're wanting to listen, you're not making any judgment, you're just wanting a bit more information. Particularly if people are struggling to admit, sort of see what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Moving it to a feeling about what I did to, so let's just work out what actually happened.
Yes.
That's right. One thing to do. Other thoughts about
it? Sometimes you do need to ask the question that crosses into the awkward zone.
Yeah.
I was chatting to one of our leaders about this just recently, where you ask something that is a bit shocking. So you might ask, say, so have you guys actually had sex?
Mm.
Or have you raised your voice to your wife?
Mm.
Or have you even hit your wife?
Mm.
Are you thinking about leaving church?
Mm.
Are you angry with me? Have you taken money from someone? Like, just the sort of things that, we wouldn't do that in polite society, not in our Christian world, not in our church. That sort of thing doesn't happen. No, you just step over that boundary and you say, I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkward, confronting, out of the ordinary, but it demonstrates that I want a kind of real communication here.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to go into this zone. I invite you to come and answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, there is part of that where you want to be, you just want to be conscious of your tone.
Yeah.
As you ask it, you're not asking, neither condemningly.
Yeah.
Have you done this? You know.
Yeah.
And you're not asking too lightly.
No.
Surely you haven't.
No.
Okay.
You're not creating a pathway out.
No. Have you? Yeah. Oh, it's been a struggle. Can I ask? Have you had sex?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you're just asking the question. You're giving them the opportunity. It's actually really loving. You're giving them the opportunity to confess their sin,
yeah.
Which is what the Bible encourages us to do. It's a helpful thing.
Yeah, it's very pastoral, yeah. Really. And I'm always relieved if they haven't done the thing, because this is emotionally heavy for us as well.
Mm.
But out of love, we go into that zone.
Mm. Yeah. So we listen, we understand. I think the goal of that listening is that they feel like we've invested in them and we can understand where they're at.
Yeah. So that is so helpful, understanding. Some questions I nearly always ask as well with Christians is, so how are you going with God?
Mm.
Or how's your Christian walk? How's your walk with Jesus?
How has it affected your walk with Jesus?
Yeah. And that's always a relevant question.
Yes.
Barely matters no matter what the issue is.
That's right.
And if that doesn't go anywhere, I might say, how's prayer going?
Yeah.
What are you praying for? How's Bible reading? Are you finding it hard to get to church?
Yeah. That's worth saying that almost always for my first meeting about an issue, that's my end goal.
Yeah.
I want to get to that point where, having spoken through all this stuff, my first concern for them is, hang on with God.
Yeah.
In the midst of all this, whether it's your struggle with life or your struggle with sin or whatever it is, I want to get to that point. And I want to communicate that is by far and away the most important thing in the world.
It is. Yeah. It's so frustrating when you're in ministry and you've spent an hour trying to fix someone's unemployment problem or marriage stress and you find out that they haven't prayed in months.
Yeah.
And you think, what am I doing? How can I expect any growth in their marriage if their Christian life is going nowhere?
Yeah.
In a sort of generally neat and tidy way, what we're doing is lots of listening, giving information. If you can sometimes take notes if that helps, but you're giving yourself time, they're feeling loved and listened. This is all helpful preparing for us the next step of beginning to open the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Which we'll look at next week.
That's correct.
Thanks, Richard. You didn't sound too bad. You're not too croaky.
Thank you, Dave.